Week, we began teaching in the book of Hebrews, and for just a few moments, let me review a little of what we said last week. Last week, we discussed the authorship of the epistle to the Hebrews, and I have concluded that God was the author, no question about it. And we think pretty strongly that the Apostle Paul was the writer, or the scribe, or the amanuensis, or the penman, or the copyist. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work. Now, while Paul did write that epistle to Timothy, that letter, an epistle is a letter to Timothy, he was dictating what God spoke to him. Just like when he writes the book of Hebrews, he's writing down what God dictated to him, what I mean. So to be an amanuensis is to write what another dictates. I think I mentioned you get a letter from the professionals and somebody else types up the letter. And in this case, it would be capital G, capital O, capital D, God, and then the slash, and then the small letters, meaning that's the person who wrote it. In this case, it would be AP, small A, small P, Apostle Paul. That's the way it is in my mind. Then we discussed the date of the book and decided that it was written somewhere around 62 AD, which means that was before the temple at Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple at Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, and if this was written before the temple was destroyed, it makes a lot of interesting reading in the book of Hebrews, because he talks a lot about the temple worship in the book of Hebrews. So that's a good thing to keep in mind, that the book of Hebrews was written while the temple at Jerusalem was yet standing. The authorship, the date, and to whom the book was written. Well, it says the epistle to the Hebrews. You can't make a big bad mistake there. It was written to the Hebrews. So, who was it written to? The Hebrews. But a lot of people since then might entertain the question, I'm not a Hebrew. I'm not a Jew. Am I not supposed to read the book? Am I free to read the book? Then we said that Colossians 4:16 says, excuse me, and when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And then we know in Mark 13, when Jesus was talking about his second coming and the destruction of Jerusalem, things like that, at the end of the chapter, he said, what I say unto you, I say unto all. What I say unto you, he was addressing the apostles. But what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And then we have Titus, where he says to mine own son Titus, chapter 1, verse 4. And then he concludes the book with, grace be unto all of you, you all. And then we have the book written to Philemon. And I love reading that little one chapter epistle, because there are so many truths and principles. One major one that we can apply to our own lives. I think it's good that we can read these other epistles. Don't you like to read letters to other people? I have stacks of letters at home that my dad wrote, my mother got, and so on, way back in 1923, 4, right in there, maybe earlier. My dad courting my mother before they were married, you know, and I read those letters. I like to read that, because it's about somebody I know real well. And I like to read these letters in the Bible that are written to somebody else, because in the Holy Ghost, I feel like I know them real well. And I'm going to sit down with them one day. And then Luke is written to Theophilus. The book of Acts is written to Theophilus. Wouldn't that be awful if we couldn't read the book of Acts? Where would we Pentecostals be if we couldn't read the book of Acts? Yet it was written to one man. It was written to Theophilus. So, cause that this epistle be read to the other churches also. So we have the whole Bible, and it's all ours. Praise the Lord. The authorship, the date, to whom it was written, and why it was written. It was written to, I think, to encourage the believing Jews, because the Christian Jews were hated by the non-Christian Jews. Those non-Christian Jews who did not believe on Jesus. They believed in God, but they didn't believe in Jesus. And of course, in plain language, the Lord relegated them to hell. Because if you don't believe in Jesus, hell is your destination. Right? Jesus said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When people claim they believe in God and reject Jesus, they're lost. They're lost. You can be as kind as you want to be, but the Word of God stands firm. Your kindness won't save anybody. You're born again by the Word of God, the incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth forever. Praise the Lord. So Paul, or Saul at that time, was a Jew himself. And he was once loved and respected by his colleagues. But when he believed on Jesus, all of a sudden he was an outcast. All of a sudden he was persecuted. All of a sudden he was despised by his fellow men and not loved anymore. But Paul writes to the book of Hebrews to encourage the believing Jews to keep on believing because they're right. And then he encourages them to go on. Hebrews 6, let us therefore go on unto perfection. And that's what the Lord would have us to do. Then he wrote the epistle to the Hebrews to establish the new covenant as superior to and superseding the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, same thing. Now he had to do this because even the believing Jews had a very difficult time abandoning circumcision, abandoning the law of Moses. Abandon means to leave it and never return. And that's what Paul was encouraging them to do. Leave it and never return. You got something better and you don't go back to the old. Amen. How many of you would go back in the world to some occult that you came out of? Or some other god that you served? Because you couldn't let go of it. No, you don't want to do that. You want to abandon it. And I said the believing Jews had a difficult time abandoning circumcision in the law. And we gave Acts 15:5 and Acts 21:20. If you wanted to look those up again. Very good. We have something better to go on to. Praise the Lord. Then we went into Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, the first word, God, and we reminded you that Psalm 14:1 says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God, and that Psalm 53:1 says the same thing, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And so the author starts writing here, God. He doesn't say, if there is a God, no, he just says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners and so on. He presumes the existence of God. I like that. I like that. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then it says, God who at sundry times and divers manners spake. I reminded us that God has a voice, that God speaks right from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he do it? With his voice. He just said, let there be light, and there was light. Let the dry land appear. Let this happen. Let that happen. And we have this beautiful creation that we enjoy every day, even when it's raining, even when it's snowing, even when it's cold. Amen. God has something to say. And the big thing he said was, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. The Hebrews call that the Shema. Okay, so God has something to say. And unlike the theory of evolution, with all of its hypotheses and suppositions, the Bible states authoritatively, God has spoken. I like the authority by which this man begins the epistle to the Hebrews. God. No ifs, ands, buts, questions, wonderments about it. No. It's just God. God. And if you don't like it, you just have to go read something else. You'll have to read some supposition somewhere, some hypothesis somewhere, or some foolishness somewhere. Have you ever read a book on evolution? Supposing there was. Now, if it... Oh, it just goes on and on. I couldn't stand it. I just quit the course. I took a quick course, a short course in evolution, you know? And I got it all cleared up in a minute. I just jumped over all of that, and I took a leap of faith into creationism. And I just bypassed that doctrine of evolution. Oh, I studied it. Yes, I studied it for a long time. But what foolishness. What foolishness. What utter foolishness. Christians ought to shout amen to that. What utter foolishness to think that, boom, and here we are. You know. That's like thinking, boom, in a printing shop, here's Webster's Dictionary. Yeah, like that. Oh, how foolish. I have no time for it whatsoever. No time for it whatsoever. Amen. And I hope you don't give it any of your time. There's more important things to think about and study. Okay. But I like the authority with which the Apostle Paul writes here. I like the authority of the Holy Scripture. Listen to Matthew 7, 28 and 29. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Well, other preachers had preached. Why weren't they astonished at them? They had their Jewish rabbis. Nicodemus was one of them. Joseph of Arimathea was one of them. Gamaliel was one of them. They had their great teachers and rabbis. They had their universities there in Jerusalem. How come they weren't astonished at their doctrine? You know why? Well, we really don't know for sure, but it could have been that. And supposing and wondering and if. That's probably the way they talked. I'm pretty sure they did. I think I can find evidence of it in the Gospels. I'm sure I can find evidence of it in the Gospels. And it came to pass, when Jesus ended his sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Praise the Lord. What was the source of Jesus' astounding authority? Well, in John 7, 16, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." God. We're back to God, who at sundry times. God, whose existence we assume. Amen. John 12, 49, Jesus said, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak." Now that's authority. That's authority. Amen. One, you know, one of our university workers here years ago came to me and told me what one of the professors at the university here in Wisconsin said to his beginning freshman class on a certain subject. He said, "One thing we know for certain is that nobody really knows anything for certain." I thought, my, what authority. What authority. "One thing we know for certain." We are so authoritative, we know something for certain. And that is that nobody knows anything for certain. So, how would you like me to get up here and preach? I'm not really sure there is a God, but if there is, let me tell you what I think he did. Maybe about 1900 and some years ago. If he was born of a virgin, which some contradict, and preach on and on like that. That's terrible. Do you know that's what churches are doing today? They're not leading their people anywhere into the light. They are not feeding their souls at all. Amen. Even preachers today are saying things like, and I hope we don't have anybody here like that. No one can really know if he's saved. No one can really know if he's saved until Jesus comes. May I state to you authoritatively this morning, I know I'm saved. There is no question in my mind about it. And you stick around this church a while and you find out why I know I'm saved. Amen. I'm not preaching some hypothesis or some supposition. I'm preaching the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says when a man of God gets up behind the pulpit and preaches, and when one of you say anything to anybody else as a child of God, here's the way you're supposed to talk. If any man speak, Peter said, let him speak as the oracles of God. Do you know what an oracle is? You can look it up in Strong's, look it up in Vines, look it up in Webster's Dictionary, and you get the same idea. Let me give them to you. Webster says an oracle is a divine announcement. Would you like to hear a divine announcement? I am saved, thus saith the Lord. Can you say that? I am saved, thus saith the Lord. An oracle is thus saith the Lord. All right. Vine says an oracle is a divine utterance. Divine utterance. Would you like to hear a divine utterance? I am saved, thus saith the Lord. Strong says an oracle is an utterance of God. Now, why am I saying this so authoritatively today? Well, I thank God for the Bible. Because you and I can talk to anybody. If we are saved, we can talk to anybody and say, thus saith the Lord. We can speak as the oracles of God and say, thus saith the Lord, by quoting the scripture. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Amen. You can't stand out there and come up with your own ideas and develop your own doctrine and say to somebody, here's how you get saved. If you want to go to heaven, follow me, and then baptize them in your name. Paul defied that. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Were you baptized in the name of Paulus? I'm glad I didn't baptize you, because I speak as the oracles of God. When I say something, it's thus saith the Lord. That's the way we have to speak as preachers, as children of God. If any man speak, you want to know where that is? 1 Peter 4:11. 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Don't go around quoting Shakespeare. Don't go around quoting Khrushchev. Why did I say Khrushchev? Because he prophesied and said, we will bury you and your children. But they buried him. His prophecy failed. So that wasn't an oracle of God at all. We can't go around quoting other people and say, thus saith the Lord. We can quote the Holy Scripture and say, thus saith the Lord. Repent or perish, thus saith the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thus saith the Lord. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, thus saith the Lord. And you shall receive the Holy Ghost, thus saith the Lord. You see where I'm coming from? If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Don't quote yourself, don't quote some other great man. Do like Jesus did. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he said, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, I'm just thankful for the Bible. Aren't you thankful for the Bible? That you can say, thus saith the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that you don't have to go around just wondering about things. You can know things for certain. Those things you know for certain. Praise the Lord. What can you know? I'll tell you what. Here's what a lot of people... Well, how do I say this? Well, pull your toes in. I'm saved, but I don't know about you. That's the attitude so many people have. I'm saved, but I'm not sure about you. Praise the Lord. We don't go by feelings. We don't go by our judgment. We go by the Word of God. Let me tell you something now, what the Word of God says. I thank God for the Bible, and I think there are some things that we can know for absolute certain. We don't have to be in the dark about them, question them at all. Job said, Job 19:25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand the last day upon the earth." And he knew that he would rise from the dead. He knew that. "After my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself and not another. Mine eyes shall behold him. Praise the Lord. Though my reins be consumed within me, I know that my Redeemer liveth." Praise the Lord. There are some things we can know. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, "For I know whom I have believed." I know whom I have believed. He didn't believe in me. I didn't believe in him. We believed in Jesus. "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he," not you, not me, "but he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, if somebody's wondering about their salvation, I'll tell you why they're wondering. They're wondering whether or not they're saved because they have a salvation dependent upon their works and not on their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't depend on your works. You go about in the dark the rest of your life. You'll never know if you're saved or not. Because one day you did a good job and you'll feel saved. And the next day you did a bad job and you'll feel lost. You'll be up and down. You'll vacillate like a yo-yo. Amen. I'm glad we can know something. You and I know something. Listen to John. 1 John 3:14. In fact, I could give you a lot more. I just jotted a few down here. "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." Now, you've heard me say this. I love every one of you. And I assume that you all love me. And if you don't, you're going to have to come and tell me that you don't love me, because I believe you do. How many love me? Amen. How many believe I love you? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the only kind of relationship we can have. And then be able to say, "I know that I pass from death unto life," if we love the brethren. See? You can know it. Just verify those things in your life. Amen. 1 John 5:19, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." How many went to the Hollywood Theater last night? If there is a Hollywood Theater in town anymore, I don't know. How many got drunk last night? How many smoked 2 packs of cigarettes last night? How many gambled playing cards and cursed and swore last night? You didn't? No hands? Wow, that's pretty good. Well, we know we are of God, and it's the whole world that lieth in wickedness. You see, he that is born of God cannot sin, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin. He's born of God. Do you ever hear me preach on that? How many have not heard me preach on that? How many have heard me preach on it? That's the rest of you aren't sure. "But we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." Praise the Lord. 1 John 3:2, "We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And we know on the authority of God's holy word. How can you be a happy Christian if you don't know if you're going to hell or heaven? Glory to God, I'm going to hell. No. Glory to God, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to hell, I'm going to heaven. I don't know if I'm saved or not. I couldn't hardly dance. I couldn't get real happy. But if I know I'm a child of God, if I know I'm saved, I can live a happy life, a joyful life. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Then last week we talked about God speaking and that God's chosen people will hear from God. "My sheep know my voice," the voice of a stranger, "they will not hear. Deuteronomy 7:6, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. A special people unto himself. We are God's special people. Amen. Above all people that are upon the face of the earth. And then we read Deuteronomy 18:9 through 22, and we read about necromancer, which is one who claims to foretell the future by alleged communication with the dead. And we discovered, reading the Old Testament, that Israel didn't have to go to the diviner, the observer of times, the enchanter, the witch, the charmer, the fortune teller, the consulter with familiar spirits, the wizard, or the necromancer, because God will speak to Israel through his prophets. And that's what we're talking about today. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Praise the Lord. Today we have people playing the Ouija board, going to fortune tellers, studying astrology, having their handwriting analyzed, they're visiting witches, and they're studying the sediment in the bottom of their teacup. Amen. They're doing that. Thank God for tea bags. You don't have to study the sediment in the bottom of the cup. Man. God calls all of that abomination. Abomination. And I say, saints of God, we don't need to go to those people, those places, and do those things. Amen. I said, why go to the horoscope when we have Jesus, the bright morning star? Amen. Why go to the Ouija board when Jesus is the truth, or the fortune teller when Jesus is your fortune? Why go to the handwriting analyst when you can go to God and become a new creature in Christ Jesus? God, who at sundry times, what does that mean in sundry times? We already said that God spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, and he did this at sundry times. That means he did it piecemeal. He did it in fragments. He did it in many portions. But not one prophet had the whole message. It wasn't given all at once, or it wasn't given all to one prophet. For instance, in Genesis 3:15, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. Bruise your head, thou shalt bruise his heel, and so on. That was a prophecy that a Savior is coming, a Messiah is coming. God said to Noah, make an ark, make an ark. And he gave him the specifications, the materials, everything that he should use to make that ark to save the few people that would be saved. And again, only a few, relative to the billions in the world, will be saved. To Abraham, if you want scriptures, it's Genesis 3:15. It's Genesis 6:14, make an ark. It's Genesis 22:18, God said to Abraham, this voice, you know, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake, this voice said to Abraham, I will extend my mercy one day to all nations. And that includes you and me. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Then in 49:10 of Genesis, he said to Jacob that the Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah till Messiah comes. And then in Deuteronomy 18:18, he said to Moses, now see the different ones that he's talking to here? We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're on the fifth one already, and there may be more. I just jotted a few of them down. To Moses, Messiah, when he comes, will be a prophet. The Lord your God will raise up unto you a man like unto you, Moses. He'll be a prophet, Moses. And whosoever doesn't hear that prophet shall be cut off from the people. So that's what he said to Moses. He didn't say anything to Moses about Jesus being a king or the Messiah being a king. But when he talks to David in Psalm 2:6, he says Messiah will be a king. So now we put it all together. When Messiah comes, he'll be a prophet, he'll be a king, and he'll be of the tribe of Judah. But these things were spoken in fragments to different men. In Isaiah 7:14, he said to Isaiah, Messiah will be born of a virgin. Now, Noah didn't know that. Adam didn't know that. Abraham didn't know that. Jacob didn't know that. Moses didn't know that. David didn't know that. But he says to Isaiah, as we have this unfolding revelation of Jesus Christ being expanded and built up, and then he says to Micah, he'll be born in Bethlehem. Now, Isaiah didn't say he'd be born in Bethlehem. David didn't know that. Moses didn't know it. Jacob didn't know it. Abraham didn't know it. Noah didn't know it. Adam didn't know that. But now we're way down to Micah. And he says that Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. So to each of those prophets, now get the verse again, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Okay? A piece here and a piece there. A fragment here and a fragment there. To each only a fragment and at sundry times, different dates throughout history. A little at a time. So it says at sundry times and in divers manners. He did it in many varied ways. He spoke to his people through the prophets in dreams. Didn't Jacob have a dream? Joseph have a dream? Daniel have a dream? He spoke to Moses at the burning bush. And to Ezekiel through apocalyptic visions. And he spoke through the law. He spoke through the prophets. He spoke through the Psalms. And through all of this, God was revealing himself to the fathers by the prophets. And by the way, Jesus had the highest regard for the prophets, even as Peter did and Paul did. Listen to Jesus' regard for the prophets. Luke 24, 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. I take that personally. I'm a fool if I don't believe everything that the prophet said. I'm a fool if I don't read Genesis 1:1 and believe what that prophet Moses wrote. I'm a fool if I don't read Genesis 1:2, 1:3, chapter 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, and so on throughout the Old Testament. I'm a fool if I don't believe every word that they spoke. That's what Jesus said as he chided them there. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did Jesus have a high regard for the prophets? He said, believe every word they say. Every word they said. 27. Luke 24, 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he didn't leave any of them out. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Did Jesus have a high regard for the prophets? Luke 24, 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Peter had a high regard for the prophets, but those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Again, 3:21, Acts, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Acts 3:24, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Look at Stephen, that deacon they call him, who was preaching to a motley multitude. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. And again he says, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. Don't ever wonder who killed Jesus. You know, the unauthoritative writers wonder who killed Jesus. Listen to it. Stephen preached under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and said to those Jews, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers. Acts 7:52. Make no question about it. Back to Peter, to whom give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him should receive remission of sins. Paul again, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? See how important the prophets were to the apostles? See how important the prophets were to the Lord Jesus? Oh, extremely, extremely important. So important to them that we should learn a lesson that the prophets should be so important to us. Listen, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. I think I'll write. No, it didn't come by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's the Bible you're reading today. A Holy Ghost inspired book that has no errors, makes no mistakes, can't go wrong. The scripture cannot be broken. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. These holy men of God that spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost wrote the scriptures. You Keep your Bible. Read your Bible. Fill yourself with the Word of God. Amen. Because the Scripture is the unerring, infallible, ineradicable Word of God. Praise the Lord. He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Okay, what we've talked about so far is that God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, listen to this, hath in these last days, and by the way, if anybody tells you that the last days began in 1914, they're wrong. If anybody tells you that the last days began in 1948 when Israel became a nation again, they're wrong. If anybody tells you the last days began in 1967 when Jerusalem was retaken by the Jews, they're wrong. The last days began when Jesus Christ came the first time. And if you can get that straight, you can get a lot of your eschatology in order. Eschatology is end time events. The reason people are so mixed up on prophecy today is because they don't know when the last days began. All anybody can do at best is come up with some arbitrary date. There is no arbitrary date. It is settled. It is established by the authority of the Word of God. In these last days, Jesus came. Jesus came, we just read it, in the last days. The former days is the Old Testament. The last days is the New Testament. The last days begin with the first coming of Jesus and end with the second coming of Jesus. We're reading it right now. And I have many more verses that prove it. What about Peter on the day of Pentecost? That's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. He stands on the day of Pentecost and says, "This is that which the prophet did say should come in the last days." Amen. The last days began when Jesus came the first time.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Anybody says anything different than that's defying the Holy Scriptures. Peter said it. The book of Hebrews says it. Hebrews chapter 9 has something to say about it. But we don't want to digress right now. We'll come back to this. I'm glad I understand when the last days began so that I'm not confused in my eschatology. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners speaking time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days. You know what happens? People read the Old Testament and it talks about the last days and they think it's talking about 1991. You see, a lot of people have this in their head. If I didn't see it, it didn't happen. If it didn't happen in my generation, it wasn't fulfilled. That's a dumb attitude. It really is. That's foolishness. Did Jesus die? He didn't die in your generation. Was the temple destroyed as prophesied in the Old Testament? Didn't happen in your generation, but it happened. We're living in the end of the last days. I don't make any doubt about that. Amen. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Praise the Lord. Okay, I told you how great the prophets were and how unerring their prophecies were because they were anointed by the Holy Ghost. Hear this now. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by somebody greater than the prophets. By His Son. And the word His is in italics. Meaning that it really says God had spoken unto us in these last days by Son. Not by angels, not by prophets, but by Son. Okay, you don't have to make anything big about that. That's just in your Bible. You can see the italics there. Sometimes it's fun just to read it without the italics, see what it sounds like. Okay, now we already agree that the prophets were great, but Jesus is greater. You see, I don't read anywhere where he that hath Noah hath life. He that hath Moses hath life. He that hath Abraham hath life. He that hath David or Isaiah or Micah hath life. But I do read in 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life. He hath spoken unto us these last days by His Son. There were many prophets, but only one Son. And when Jesus came, He didn't come with a fragment of a message from God. No, Jesus had the whole message. Jesus was the whole message, and Jesus still is the whole message. Jesus didn't come to earth merely to show us the way. Jesus came and said, I am the way. Jesus didn't come to earth only to explain the salvation, the plan of salvation. Jesus was the plan of salvation and still is the plan of salvation. And by the way, Jesus wasn't just inspired by God to write or to speak. Jesus was and is the inspirer. Amen. Can I prove that? Peter said it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ that was in them. Wow. The Spirit of Christ was in the prophets who wrote the Holy Scriptures. Whew. That is potent. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So, here's my conclusion to that scripture. I mean, in part. Jesus didn't write his words on paper. Oh, he wrote on the ground one time. Way back in the Old Testament, God sizzled out the Ten Commandments on two tablets of stone with his finger. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt. Jesus didn't write his words on paper like the Old Testament prophets did. And like the New Testament apostles did. No, he didn't write his epistle on paper. Amen. Jesus didn't write his word. Jesus is the word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he has spoken unto us, mankind, unto us by his Son. Jesus is God's last word. Jesus is God's final word. Beyond him, nothing need be sought. It's not Jesus and something else. It's Jesus only. It's Jesus only. It's not even Jesus and God. It's Jesus only. It's not even Jesus and the Holy Ghost. No, it's Jesus only. The Bible makes it very clear that when you have Jesus, you have the rest. When you have Jesus, you have the Father. When you have Jesus, you have the Godhead. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And when you got him, you got everything that heaven has. Praise the Lord. It's Jesus. We're Jesus people. Praise God. Praise God. Beyond Jesus, nothing need be sought. Jesus. In these last days, he's spoken unto us by Jesus, by Son. Amen. Luke 7:19, and John the Baptist, in prison, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, because he'd heard all kinds of things that Jesus was doing. And he told his disciples to ask him, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? You know what Jesus did? He set those two disciples of John the Baptist aside. He performed all sorts of miracles, and he said, now you go back and tell John what you saw. You tell him what you heard. Tell not to be offended in me. Yes, I am the Messiah, and there's no need to look for anybody else ever. You have Jesus? You got it. Amen. Amen. Oh, I could give you, time's running out, Luke chapter 20, verses 9 through 18, if you want to read something interesting and exciting. After they kill all the servants that God said, they said, this is the heir when Jesus came. Come, let us kill him. And in Matthew 23, verses 29 through 32, Jesus told about all the atrocities they were guilty of. And then he came and he said, fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Amen. Jesus speaks with such authority. by his son. God spoke by his son. Here's one greater than the prophets. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. Jesus is talking. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Greater than Jonas. Greater than Solomon. And then Jesus said, among them that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Jesus was a prophet, but he was greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist certainly attested to that when he said, I have need to be baptized of thee. I'm not worthy to stoop down and tie your shoes. Amen. John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That was not John 3:16. That was Luke 3:16. We're talking about God's final message, delivered by God's final messenger. He wasn't a prophet only. He wasn't a servant only. He was a son. John the Baptist said of him in John 3:31, he that cometh from above is above all. For he whom God, this is verse 34, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Praise the Lord. So the importance of the message is indicated by the importance of the messenger. Let me give you one more thought before we close here. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. I mean, that just expands my mind until it won't stretch anymore. It is wonderful. It is powerful. God hath appointed him heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. John 1:3 says, all things were made by him, Jesus. And without him was not anything made that was made. Nothing that's made was not made by him. Everything that was made by Jesus. John 1:10, he was in the world, and the world knew him not. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Colossians 1:16 and 17, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all the things that he created. He's before all things, and by him all things consist, are held together by his word. Just think of that. Praise the Lord. Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. So when we talk about Jesus being heir of all things, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. You know why? He's the firstborn. He's the firstborn. Right? And according to Deuteronomy, the firstborn gets a double portion. Right? The firstborn gets a double portion, and I suppose the rest was divided up by the rest of the sons. Among the rest of the sons. I can give you that scripture in Deuteronomy. But it says here, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. The firstborn gets a double portion. That's not all things. How then is he heir of all things? You know why? He's not only the firstborn son, he's the only son. The only begotten Son of God. Praise the Lord. Guess what? Guess what in closing? He has made us joint heirs with himself. Wow. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Praise.